This morning it's also an honor because of the topic that I was given. So I was asked to share from the book of Judges. And what excites me about being able to share from the book of Judges is that of any book in the Bible, Judges is perhaps the most human. It is a book of history, and therefore it recounts history as we live it even today. The things that you'll see in Judges are very, very human. You find failures of people, you find insecurity, you find leaders who go astray, you find other leaders who rise up and do great things. And I think that maybe more than most books of the Bible, we can relate to Judges because we can see our story in the book of Judges. Before I dive too much in, I think it's important to understand the context of Judges. So the book of Judges, as I just said, is a historical book. It covers a period of history in the life of the nation of Israel after the death of Joshua and up until they named Saul as king. It's a little over 300 years, so it's quite a long period of time. And it's a time that the people of Israel struggled. They followed God and then they would fall away, and God would raise up a leader to call them back to himself. And then they would fall away again, and they would be invaded by their neighbors. They would have famines. They faced many trials during that time. And during that time, God would raise up judges who would help rule the people and bring them back to himself. And I think it's important to understand that context. It was a period of famines, wars, displacement, invasions, and a great deal of insecurity. And in fact, I think we could say that it was very similar to the Congo that we live in today. If we were to consider even not even Congo, but our city of Goma, we could see many similarities. In the last 25 years, this city, from my count, has been overrun by various armies at least 6 times. We have displacement at our borders even today. We have people who live in dire poverty, who live in fear and insecurity in our city today. It's not at all unlike the time of Judges. When we read Judges today, we can relate to what the people of Israel faced over and over and over again. We can relate to the fear. We can relate to oppressors. We can relate to poverty and uncertainty. We can relate to the need for God to raise up leaders who can free us from the oppression that we know. One of the things that we learn from Judges is that when God's people are in trouble and call to him for help, he raises up those who fear him to rescue his people. Today, this morning, I want us to look at how God might be calling each one of us to stand up and take part in the great work that he is doing to free this city and this nation from injustice, poverty, oppression, and fear. I want us to look together at the example of Gideon and learn how God can use even those who seem very insignificant. He can use insignificant people, insignificant nations to carry out his purposes. And I want us to look together in the book of Judges chapter 6. So if we could read together, we'll be in Judges chapter 6. If you see on the screen, I've put verses 1 to 24. And I'll read from there because my version is different. Judges 6, chapter 1, verse 1. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of Yahweh, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare... Sorry, I just want to stop there. To understand the breadth of this, they ruined the crops all the way to Gaza. Israel wasn't a very big country, but if you can imagine, it would be as if we were saying that the neighbors of Congo invaded and they ruined the crops all the way to Kinshasa. So that gives you some idea. Of course, Israel is very tiny compared to Congo. I don't even know if it's as big as North Kivu. But the idea is that these oppressors, these invaders, the neighbors who came in, they had taken over the whole land. And they did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to Yahweh for help. When the Israelites cried out to Yahweh because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what Yahweh, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, 'I am Yahweh, your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live.' But you have not listened to me." The angel of the Lord then came and sat down under the oak of in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Bezerite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of Yahweh appeared to Gideon, he said, "Yahweh is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, Lord," Gideon replied, "but if Yahweh is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not Yahweh bring us up out of Egypt?' But now Yahweh has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." Yahweh turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." Yahweh answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please don't go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And Yahweh said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went inside, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast, putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot. He brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and unleavened bread, place them on the rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. Then the angel of Yahweh touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of Yahweh disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of Yahweh, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Yahweh, I have seen the angel of Yahweh face to face." But Yahweh said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to Yahweh there and called it Yahweh Shalom, which means God is our peace. To this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Bezerites. This is God's word for us today. Before we delve into this passage and before we delve into this story, I want to highlight a few of the similarities between what we have just read and what we live today. These were an oppressed people. The neighbors had invaded and consumed their crops, consumed their livelihoods. It's not that dissimilar to the experiences of Congo, and especially Eastern Congo. We have at times been invaded by our neighbors. We have at times had other armies come and strip the land bare. And the people in Gideon's time were living in fear, and we often have lived in fear also. They were crying out to God, and they felt abandoned by God. And I would dare say that today, there are many Congolese, there are many brothers and sisters in this city today who feel abandoned by God. There are those who feel that their leaders don't care, that their future is bleak, and they have no hope. But this morning I believe that God is calling his church and his people to action for the sake of this city and its inhabitants. God is calling us not to view ourselves as insignificant, but rather to see that when we are called to God's purposes, he is with us and will accomplish in us what he has called us to. As we look at this passage in Judges, there are three main things I want us to consider together. The first of those is that when God calls us to his work, he sees what we are becoming in him, not what we currently are. Let me say that again. When God calls us to his work, he sees what we are becoming, not what we already are. You see, this passage starts with an interesting encounter. God shows up at Gideon's home. And he finds him hiding in a wine press. So we don't really make a lot of wine in Eastern Congo, but in ancient Israel, they would dig a pit and they would put their grapes in the pit and then they would step on them to press out the juice in order to make wine. So it's a hole in the ground. And when God shows up, Gideon is in the hole. He's hiding. He's doing a job that normally would be done out in the open, the threshing of wheat. Here in Congo, we don't have much wheat, but we have rice and beans, where you lay it out on the mat and you hit it with a stick until all the shell falls off. It's something that you often do in community. You do in the open. You don't hide in a hole to thresh your wheat, or hide in a hole to thresh anything, really. And that's where God finds him. And what we see is that God shows up and names him. What's interesting, before I talk about what God names him, is that humans tend to name people rather bizarrely. When I was a child, I grew up in Otuele, and I had a friend that I used to play football with, and his name was Pamba. For those of you who don't know Lingala, Pamba means worthless. And it was always quite stunning to me that I was playing with a kid whose parents had named him Pamba. We also have others in this country who are named Mateso, or named Niele Mabe, or names like this. And these are names that suggest suffering. They suggest hardship. They don't suggest blessing. But I would dare say that God is not like that. When God shows up and names us, he gives us names of hope. He gives us names of courage. And in this case, God shows up and calls Gideon mighty warrior. I don't know about you, but if I find somebody in a pit hiding, the last thing I think of is a mighty warrior. But here we find that God shows up and says to Gideon, mighty warrior, I am with God, Yahweh is with you. Gideon was afraid and filled with doubt, and many of us today doubt the truth of what God has called us to be. If we look in Scripture, we can see that God has called us his friends. He has called us beloved. And in 1 Peter 2, we are told that we are living stones in God's spiritual temple. And he goes on to say that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, called out of darkness into light. Those are names that God has given us. And maybe today God is naming you something specific. I don't know. Maybe he's calling you to be the brave one, the mighty warrior, as he did with Gideon, or the blessed one, or the encourager of others, the lover of justice, or maybe a combatant against fear. I don't know what it might be, but certainly when God shows up and names us, he sees what we are becoming, not what we currently are. Gideon responded, of course, with doubt, because at that moment he was not a mighty warrior, but God saw something different. Perhaps we are where Gideon was, and perhaps maybe we respond with doubt today when God calls us beloved. Perhaps we respond with doubt today when God names us beautiful things. But certainly God shows up. And as Gideon responds with doubt about whether God was with him, God responds in an interesting way. He tells him to go in the strength that you have. Today, perhaps we don't have all the answers. Perhaps we feel insignificant. But God shows up and says, mighty warrior, beloved, courageous one. And when we say, but I'm not that thing, I'm not yet that, God says, go in the strength you have. I will be with you. God sends here in this passage, God says, I am sending you. And when Gideon responds with doubt about going in his strength, God tells him that I will be with you. Certainly, in our lives, we find that this can be true. We can be filled with fear when God calls us to something. When I first came back to Congo as an adult 10 years ago, I came here with a different NGO. It was the time of the CNDP rebellion. And I was sent to Nyanzale to distribute NFIs. And it was a time where not many people wanted to go to Nyanzale, and certainly I was not very courageous in wanting to go to Nyanzale at that time. But I was sent. And the message that God gave me at that time came from Isaiah chapter 43, When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the fire, I will be with you. In that passage, God doesn't say we will not go through fire, we will not go through water. We will go through trials, but He will be with us. When He calls us to His purposes, He will be with us. He is sending us out in the strength that you have. I don't know what that little bit of strength is that you have today, what little bit of courage you have today, but certainly God can use that. He sees what you are becoming, not what you are right now. The second thing that I want to highlight this morning is that becoming what God has called us to is a process. All throughout the Bible, we see that God shows up in the lives of very ordinary people, and He calls them to great things. But those great things don't happen immediately. We see that Peter and the apostles were called to be fishers of men when Jesus saw them. They didn't immediately become fishers of men. It was many years later. Paul was called to be a messenger to the Gentiles when God met him on the road to Damascus. If we understand the timeline correctly, it was maybe a decade or more later before Paul began to preach to Gentiles. David was anointed as king by Samuel, and yet for many, many years he was chased by Saul in the wilderness before he ever became king. Jeremiah was told that he was seen before he was born, he was appointed as a prophet to the nations. Imagine, before he was born, God had already called him to something, and yet that thing didn't happen for a long time. Here we see that Gideon did not become a mighty warrior overnight. In fact, if we were to continue to read the passage, that night God appears to him and says, I want you to tear down your father's idol. But if we read, it says that Gideon was so afraid, he did it at night. Still, again, that was not an act of a mighty warrior. It was the act of an afraid warrior. But nonetheless, he acted as God had told him to, and God continued to work through him. In our Christian walk, we know that we are both already holy before God because of what He has done. We are justified. We are holy. But that it is continual day-to-day battle of sanctification to be holy in the work of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are a process that God grows in our lives. The Spirit works in us. We don't suddenly grow these fruits immediately. It's a process. We must trust God to continue to work in and through us to accomplish His purposes. We must step out in the strength that we have and trust that He is with us to bring about what He has called us to. Certainly, today, God uses ordinary people like you and me to accomplish great things for His kingdom. He is patient with us. Finally, I want to say that when God, the third point, rather, is that when God calls us to the impossible, He does it for His own glory. If we read further on in this passage, we see that Gideon does finally become what God has called him, a mighty warrior. He sets out with 32,000 warriors to fight the Midianites, and God strips him down to 300. And yet they still accomplish what God sent them out to do, defeating the Midianites. They did it in the strength of Yahweh. They did it in God's strength, and God got the glory. God, in fact, told him, send this army away, because if you do it with these people, you'll think that you did it in your strength. But it is not you, it's me. Certainly trust today that if God calls you to something, it will be He who does it in you, that He will accomplish it, and He will bring it about for His own glory, not yours. Finally, this morning, as we are closing out our time, I want you to know and think today what God might be calling you to. What has God named you? And how do you live into that? What are you becoming that God has called you to? I know this morning I mentioned already a couple times that God has called us beloved. I think that as brothers and sisters, we often forget that we are beloved in God's sight. We forget that He has already called us that, and we need to live into that. More than that, I believe that God has called us to be in this world, to be changing this world. As we've said, our country, our city faces many challenges, and He is calling the church to come out into the world, into the city, for His glory. Never think that you are too small, too insignificant to be used by God. Gideon was hiding in a pit, and God called him a mighty warrior. Let me trust today, brothers and sisters, that wherever you are, no matter what you think of yourself, God can use you. He is not done with you. He has a purpose for you. Certainly, God delights in using the weak and powerless to accomplish great things for His glory. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul was complaining about his weaknesses, and God told him that I delight in weakness. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Gideon thought that he was insignificant. He thought that his tribe was insignificant. He thought that his nation was insignificant. But God found a weak, afraid man hiding in a pit and called him a mighty warrior, sending him to defend the people of God. God named him, calling him to a purpose, and he carried out that purpose. I believe that God is eager to bring transformation to this city and this country. I believe that God's intent and desire is that the people of this city will flourish. But for that to happen, the people of God, the church, you and me, must live into the calling He has put on our lives as holy, chosen people, a royal priesthood. We must trust that we are beloved and that we must follow where the lover is leading us. We must listen to His voice calling us to action. What has He called you to today? And are you ready to follow Him in the strength that He has already given you, knowing that He will be with you to carry out to completion what He has started? As I close, I want to bless you, sisters and brothers, with what Paul wrote to the Philippians. Paul declared, and I declare to you today, that He who began a good work in you will continue His work until it is finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. What God has called you to, He will bring to completion in and through you for His glory. Rest in that today and move forward in the strength that you have, knowing that He is with you. For the King and His kingdom, to God be the glory. Amen.